Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
All right, now it's time for us to get into our Bible heroes. And this is a segment where we just share a story of a Bible character that we admire in the Bible and take some lessons out of that person's story. So today, our hero that we're focusing on is Jonah. All right, so Jonah was a prophet, and even though he had let God down in so many different ways, we'll get into the story in just a little bit. His story just shows us how God forgives. He was forgiven because God showed him unlimited love and compassion, and not just for him, not just for Jonah, but even in how God dealt with other people, which is the people of Nineveh. So this is a story of Jonah, who was sent to go preach to this wicked nation of Nineveh and to give them a warning that if they didn't turn away from their evil ways and turn toward God, that their nation would be destroyed. Jonah was absolutely not interested in doing that. He had no interest in going to Nineveh. I believe they were actually like enemies. Jonah's people and the people of Nineveh were actually enemies. And he was not interested in going that way. So instead of going to Nineveh, he jumped on a boat and started going the opposite direction. I have never understood what was Jonah's point in doing that. Because if I don't want to go, why do I have to go somewhere else, right? It almost felt like an effort to make it more obvious that I do not want to go where you are sending me, God. He could literally have just sat where he was. He could have stayed put where he was and said, I'm not going. But the fact that he invested his time and his finances to go in the opposite direction tells me that, you know, he had the ability to do what God said he must do, and he chose not to, and he chose to actually invest himself into disobeying God, into going the opposite direction. And so the story goes on, talks about how there was a storm. Jonah ends up getting thrown off the boat at his own insistence, because he knew that the storm was an issue between him and God, and all these other people on the boat were not really part of the conversation, really. So he gets thrown off the boat. He gets swallowed by a whale, and the whale goes and throws him off on the shores of Nineveh. And so he goes, he preaches his heart out, and the people are converted, which was in fact the point. That was the reason he was sent there. God did not want to destroy the people of Nineveh, and that's why he gave them the opportunity to first hear his word and to have the option to choose Christ, to choose God for themselves. And they did. And now Jonah was mad at that. But again, like I said, not only did God forgive Jonah, he also forgave the people of Nineveh. That is just the compassion and the love and the grace that God shows to those who give him a chance. So let's look at the lessons that we learn from the story, because when you think about the compassion that God showed to Jonah and to the people of Nineveh, you realize, and the compassion that was lacking in Jonah for the people of Nineveh. Compassion is a very important thing to have when you're a part of any family or even a community of people with different personality types, different life experiences, different backgrounds. You will have to be compassionate at one point or another. Anytime you are facing people who are different from yourself, compassion will need to be exercised. Right? So one lesson that we learn is that God's mercy is extended to everyone. And this is one of the biggest lessons, I think, that we can take from the story. God's mercy is extended to all. No matter how many followers may feel about this, no matter what other people, look at how Jonah felt about the people of Nineveh. It doesn't matter. God still had mercy for those people. In fact, if anything, his disappointment is in Jonah for believing otherwise. His disappointment in Jonah was more than his disappointment in the people of Nineveh, because Jonah didn't recognize the love that Christ has for sinners. And I wonder if we recognize that, we who claim to be Christians, who claim to be followers of Christ, do we recognize that in failing to share the love of God, in failing to express love for our fellow man, express compassion for our fellow man in the way that God does for us, in failing to express that, in fact, in assuming that God feels about sinners the way that we do, we disappoint God. We disappoint him even more than the sinner does because we claim to know him, and yet we believe something about him that is just fundamentally not true. God is love. His mercies are new every morning. And he shows those mercies to the believers and unbelievers alike. God is a God of mercy and a God of love. And he extends that love and mercy to all without prejudice. And we must never, ever put ourselves in a position where we think that because of our beliefs or because of our positions in the church or because of how long we've been in the church, that somehow we have some kind of moral high ground to stand on and look down on other people and think that God stands with us. No, God didn't do that. When we were down in the dust, in the mud, in fact, even before we were created, remember the fact that we were just a lump of clay. We were dust, and God came down and knelt down in the dirt to create us. And then after we fell from grace and fell into sin, Jesus came down to be among us in order to save us. God has never been one who sits up high and points fingers at us down low and judges us from up there. He did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Our God comes down to our level, and he does that even today. He does that for the sinners. So don't ever sit up high on your moral high chair and think that God is sitting up there with you. No, no, no. God doesn't sit up there. He comes down low to the lowest of the low to reach them where they are. And if you want to be rubbing shoulders with God, you need to be willing to reach down to where the quote-unquote lowest of the low are and recognize that you belong there. Because at the end of the day, we are all sinners. And so if the sinners are all down there at the lowest of the low, I should be there as well. But because of the love that God has shown to me and the mercy that he's extended to me, while I'm down there, I'm showing everybody else that same love that God has given to me. I'm not hopeless. I'm not helpless. I'm not a slave to sin like I used to be. But my mission now is to make sure that my brothers and sisters who are still down there know that they also don't have to be slaves to sin, right? Another lesson, which is a very obvious one, you can't hide from God. I don't know where Jonah was going. I don't understand what his plan was in trying to go to Tarshish, if he thought God wouldn't find him there. I don't really understand what that was all about. A little dramatic, if you ask me. But the point is that you cannot hide from God. And when God has a plan for you, like this would actually be a very interesting conversation to have. I'm going to have to invite someone one of these days to talk to us about this. Like, do we have a choice? Because it almost seems like Jonah didn't have a choice. Because if he did, he chose no. He said, no, I'm not going to Nineveh. And God said, I bet you are. So I don't know. I don't know. Do we have a choice in some of these things? Very interesting conversation I'd like to have one of these days. But yeah, my point for the sake of this particular talk is that you can't hide from God. God's eye is on you every minute of every day. I don't care where you think you're going, if you're trying to hide somewhere. I know that in discouraging young people from going to like nightclubs and certain kinds of parties and things like that, we would be told that the angels stop at the door, you know, or that once you go in there, you're in Satan's territory and anything can happen to you once you go in there. I don't know how far true that is, because the Bible says, where can I go from your presence? The psalmist says, even if I make my bed in the pits of hell, you are there. So I believe no matter where you go, God is there. God is present. God is watching you. God is protecting you. If there was a place on this earth that God was not, don't you think that that is the place where everyone would be lost? That would be the place where the devil knows he has complete control. And I don't believe that there's any such place in existence where God has no power, where God has no authority, where God has no presence. I don't know if I really believe that. But anyway, for the sake of this particular talk, we're talking about Jonah, and he tried. He tried to hide. He tried to run. But God was able to bring him right back on course to where he needed him to go. And on one hand, one would think that this was for the sake of the people of Nineveh, which, yes, they did benefit from the service of Jonah. But also Jonah benefited from this experience. He needed it. He didn't know that he needed it because he was a preacher man and he had a relationship with God. He spoke to God regularly. That's why he was able to recognize God's voice telling him to go to Nineveh. So this was someone who was, in regular enough communication with God to recognize God's voice when he was sent. And so because of that, he probably thought that he was okay. Just like I might think I'm okay because I work here at Adventist World Radio, SID Media. I work for the church. My father is a pastor, so I must be fine, right? Wrong. Because as we see from the example of Jonah, as much as I may as someone out there listening may benefit from what we share here on Adventist World Radio, even those of us who are sitting behind the microphone and presenting are spoken to. I always say God has to speak to me first before I can speak to you. In my prayers, I always ask him, speak through me and speak to me. And so that's why I'll never come on here and share anything with you that I have not been convicted of first. And so what Jonah experienced in Nineveh was not only for the people there, it was also for himself. And that is just how God works. Whatever he has called you to do for the next person is also going to benefit you as well. Another lesson, you cannot rush God. And one of the main themes when you look at the book of Jonah is that Jonah wants God to operate on his timeline, right? He's exemplified as an extremely impatient man, no nonsense. And he wanted God to just punish these guys. He wanted to mete out that punishment on his clock and not according to God's plan. But God showed Jonah that in his own infinite wisdom, he cannot and he will not be rushed. This is a lesson I've had to learn over and over and over again, that God cannot and will not be rushed. God doesn't do deadlines. He has his own timeline. He exists outside of time. Time exists within God. Do you understand how magnificent that is? This is not a God who operates under your deadlines or mine. He does not have a deadline. Things will happen when he says they should happen. He can make time stand still because it belongs to him. So the things that you expect to happen, the things that you're praying for, the things that you're hoping for, the things which, you know, and most things in this world have a deadline. And so you're looking at that deadline and saying, well, God, I get it. You're God. You don't have deadlines, but the closing date for this is such and such. I can assure you now from experience that that date can come and go and God can still make something happen. I've experienced this myself. One day I'll share some of these testimonies with you. I've experienced this myself where there was a specific time that was the shut-off time for something that I was doing, applying for. And something just said, just don't give up. No, but the time, it's too late. The date has passed. Don't give up. And it just happened. Because I listened to that voice, which I now recognize as the Holy Spirit. And so God doesn't operate on our timelines. You cannot rush him. Everyone deserves compassion is another lesson, which I guess would tie into the first lesson, which is about how God gives mercy to absolutely everybody. And we should be able to do the same thing. And then also, finally, God's love can change people. God's love can change people. Not your threats. Not your judgments, not your any kind of earthly reward that you might be able to offer. None of that can change a human being. Only God's love can do that. And God's love has done that for not just the people of Nineveh, not just for Jonah himself, but for generations upon generations of people to this very day. It is the love of God that changes us, that makes us into better people. It's not the fear of God in terms of being frightened of him, but the fear of God in terms of recognizing that he is God and honoring him in that role, obeying him for being God. And that obedience comes from love for God. Otherwise, it's just compliance. Do you remember that? We had a conversation a few months ago, I believe, and I think it was Pastor Choga who came through and he said, there's a difference between obedience and compliance. Compliance is just doing something because it is the right thing to do. I have no love incentive for doing it. I'm just doing it because I don't want to be in trouble, maybe fear of punishment, fear of consequences. But when it comes to obedience, that is a response because of love. I obey God because I love him. And that love that I give to God comes from the love that he gave to me first. I've said this before, and I'll keep saying it. Everything that we give to God, we must recognize he gave it to us first. And that includes the love that we have for him. He loved us first. And so that is why we are even able to love him back. So those are just some of the lessons that I get from the story of Jonah. There's so many more, I'm sure, and I'd really love to hear your own input on what you learned from the story of Jonah. The number is +27734703520. And also, please do feel free to reach out if you have a Bible character that you'd like us to focus on in one of the coming weeks, or that you would like to come on the show and speak about. Please do feel free to reach out and get in touch. +27734703520.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.